Yeah, you need an initial hole. I don't care if my pants get wet. Where's the lid?
Welcome in to Keep It About Ball, bitch.
Just a splash.
Shitbag lizard people.
Yeah, bro, QB2 is Aiden O'Connell.
Fuck Sean Payton.
Actually, when you add up the pick value, yeah, when you crunch the numbers, who the fuck's Jennifer?
Go ahead and say welcome into the show one more time since I forgot to hit record and we are already live. So what I'm going to be doing tonight is I'm going to go rate and rank all of the drafts from our podcast league, one QB, two receiver, two flex PPR, pretty standard league. For the podcast version, I'm going to go ahead and put this ahead of the live draft. That will play after on the audio version. Pick a card will play before that as well, too. That way you don't got to sit 2 hours if you're not interested in hearing the live talk. We did get Lucas on for that, so a member of the league in there. That was really cool. First time getting to chat with him. Got him on for a little bit. Reed hopped on. Brady hopped on him. It was a good little draft. It was a fun draft. One of the more fun drafts I've actually done personally. But yeah, we're going to go through. We're going to rate all the teams here. Just probably on a scale of like 1 to 10. Just like their QB room, running back room, receiver, tight end right there. We'll keep track of it on the board. That way everyone can see it. We need to actually make a column for total score. So we'll just do that right there. And yeah, so before I get started, of course, got to do the quote-unquote plugs. If you are watching live on X, please, if you're not following us, go follow us. If you're watching on YouTube later, please go subscribe, leave a comment, all that good shit. Hit the like button. Podcast listeners, if you're already subscribed, hit the 5-star rating, please. It really does help. Just leave a short little review, just like nice pod. That's all you gotta really say. You don't gotta say anything crazy. It really does help, so please do that. And then maybe one day, if we get enough listeners, I won't have to use this whiteboard here, and I can just live stream it out, which would be really sweet. So let's go ahead and I guess get started here. The first team we're gonna be looking at is the Sleestack, aka Leo's dad from the draft. So his team, his quarterbacks are Lamar and Dak Prescott. And I'm glad Dak Prescott's actually right here at the top. I didn't plan it that way, but, let's see, where is he on here? Did I forget to write the Sleestack name? Oh no, I read it up there. That's not good. We'll just remember that we're going QB, running back, receiver, tight end. I think I can do that. I think I can manage. I am pretty dumb, though. So, Lamar and Dak. I mean, that's a great... Obviously, Lamar, that's enough said right there. But Dak, I feel like he... his drafters just got a nice boost with the Micah trade. I think that their defense was already going to be bad. Now it's going to be even worse. And they're just going to be having to throw the ball constantly. And I think that's great for Dak. Probably going to be behind in a lot of games, chasing points. Just what you want to see out of a passing game that you're hoping to see be electric is that they're probably going to have a lot of game scripts that put them in a position where they have to have those electric moments to be competitive. So I like that a lot. He's got potentially QB1 and maybe one of the best backups so far in the league. I'm going to go ahead and give him, I'm going to go 9.5 on QB. Here for the Sleestack. Okay, so his receivers. Oh, or no. We're doing running back. already messing up. Okay, so his running backs are Bijan Robinson, Chase Brown, Aaron Jones, and Braylon Allen. Okay, I actually like that. Braylon Allen's going to get some play. I think there's a good chance, especially now with Dallas acquiring those picks. Jerry Jones has already said that they are... going to maybe use those picks to go get another player for this year. What better player than a running back? First round capital, which is what Jerry Jones loves. Go get Breece Hall. And he would be great for that offense. So we're hoping that happens. So I think Braylon Allen could be a nice late round pick right there. Aaron Jones, I think probably going to be boom bust kind of weeks. There's going to be some weeks he might give you 5 fantasy points. Then I think he's going to have some weeks where he gives you 20 fantasy points here and there still. So, just kind of a play-it-by-matchup situation. I don't hate it. But Bijan and Chase Brown, awesome pairing. I've already tried to acquire Chase Brown a couple of different ways. Has not gone my way. really like his 1-2 punch, and the two guys behind him, I think, are, as of right now, I don't think they're the greatest options, but they have very easy path to become, like, really good, like, RB3, good flex options. So, I think I'm going to go... I am going to go 8 for his running backs, because those top two are really good. Okay, so his receivers. DK Metcalf, Jerry Jeudy, Calvin Ridley, Luther Burden, and Marvin Mims. Marvin Mims, I feel like, pretty locked into that wide receiver 2 role. It's a damn shame we don't count return yards in this league. Luther Burden, I'm really low on him. I don't expect much out of him. I think there's a good chance he's probably off this roster after the first couple of weeks, just chasing someone with higher upside. Calvin Ridley, I like that as your flex. Jeudy and Metcalf as your starters. That's all right. It's with as good as your running back room is and your quarterback room, you're bound to not be perfect somewhere, and those are both, I feel like, solid wide receiver 2s. No one. Calvin Ridley could sneak into being a wide receiver 1. I don't think that'll happen week 1 against Denver and Pat Surtain, but maybe down the line. Let's have a look at his schedule here. You got the Rams, the Colts, Houston, Arizona, the Raiders, the Patriots, Colts again, Chargers in the bye week, so that's not exactly a murderer's row of defenses. He should be able to get something going. I think I'm gonna go 6 on his wide receiver room. And again, that was DK Metcalf, Jerry Jeudy, Calvin Ridley, Luther Burden, and Marvin Mims. All right, his tight ends, David Njoku and Tucker Kraft. I'm just gonna quickly go 7 here. I think that's just a pretty solid room. David Njoku, I think, to start the year, definitely be playable. I think there's a good chance by the end of the year he's not playable at all, and that Harold Fannin kind of is in control of that room. But Tucker Kraft, I think he's going to eat this year and have a really good year. Definitely a tight end 1, I would say probably like tight end 4 to 7 range if I had to guess. So I'm going to go ahead and give him, I'll give him a 7 on that too. Actually, I'm going to go 6.5 there on Njoku and Tucker Kraft as a room. Okay, so next up we got the San Jose, let me pull up Brady's name here. He's got quite the long name. The San Jose Scrotum Heads. I love it. I love it. Bonus points that he has it with a city as commissioner. I love that. I got a thing for that. It's really weird, I know. But anyways, his quarterbacks are Brock Purdy, and that is it. I like Brock Purdy for the year. They're probably going to be throwing the ball a lot too, I would imagine. No depth behind it. I'm just going to go 6. If he had, like, a backup on there, I would probably go 8. But, I'm not going to go any higher than that. Running backs, Jahmyr Gibbs and Jonathan Taylor. A couple really nice running back tandems to start this so far. And then Jordan Mason, and then, of course, the other Vikings running back. Tank Bigsby and Zach Charbonnet. I like this running back room. Jahmyr Gibbs. And Jonathan Taylor, that's an awesome 1-2 punch. Gibbs should have just an awesome year. Jonathan Taylor, I do kind of worry that Daniel Jones really sucks, and teams kind of just end up stacking the box really hard on it and just, like, tell the Colts, hey, you got to make Daniel Jones beat us. We're not going to let Jonathan Taylor do it. But even still, he's the kind of guy, he's going to find a way to still get his. I think Jordan Mason is the right Vikings running back to have. And then Tank Bigsby and Zach Charbonnet, especially Zach Charbonnet, could end up being two of the best handcuffs in fantasy this year. So I'm going to go, what did I give the last one? 8 on his running back. I think I'm going to go 8.5 here. So I think it's just a little bit better. And I like Mason more than Jones. Okay, next up are
Brady's receivers. He's got Terry McLaurin, George Pickens, Jaden Higgins, Adam Thielen, and Darnell Mooney. Kind of reached on Terry McLaurin, in my opinion. I know Reed kind of agreed with that, too. George Pickens should be really nice. I think his projections are a little low. And like I was just saying, I think they're going to be throwing the ball a shit ton. And if CD's getting double-teamed, I think George Pickens just absolutely eats up like second-string cornerbacks all day. Or not second-string, but the number two corner all just all year. So that's nice. Jalen Waddle's nice. I think he's probably wide receiver one in that offense this year. I might have missed him going through the first time too. I'm gonna go eight here. I think it's just a really solid room. Terry McLaurin could be really good. I do worry about the injury and stuff, but even if he ends up going Pickens and Waddle, I think that will be roughly about the same thing. And then he's gonna have to. Thielen's not gonna be something I think he can keep on his team all year, but for these first few weeks, should definitely be nice. Gosh, this one's kind of tough. I'm not even going to lie. This one's a tough one to rank because I feel like all these wide receivers right here, McLaurin, Pickens, and Waddle, like they've got a bunch of upside, but I can also see them just like being complete ass too. And I say that as a Pickens guy. I'm going to go seven, I think, because it is just a really solid room. I'll keep it. I wrote it down. I wrote it in Expo. We'll keep it. All right, and his tight end is TJ Hawkinson, and he does not have one on his bench. I'm going to go 5.5. He's quite a bit higher on TJ Hawkinson than I am, and I get it. But I don't know. Maybe for the first few weeks without Addison, I think once Addison gets back, Hawkinson could be. Like, I think if you're just pacing those games, probably, like, tight end 8 to 14, somewhere within that range. So, like, not, like, terrible, but not, like, I don't think we're going to see the Hawkinson kind of upside that we see sometimes this year. I don't know. Every time I say something doubting anything Vikings-related, I feel like they end up proving me completely wrong, and then Brady and Reed just completely shit on me and call me a retard. Tell me I don't know ball, and then I get mad. Oh, good times, good times. Okay, so I don't know what Scooby I wrote right there. 6.5. 6.5. What are we writing right there? That's quarterback, receiver, running back, receiver, tight end. I don't know what that 6.5 came from. So we were just gonna leave it there. Alright, moving over to I'm Cooked, aka Armand, last year's champion. The name says it all, I have to agree, it is a little bit cooked. His quarterback is Justin Herbert and Caleb Williams. Never been a Herbert guy as far as fantasy goes. I think he's a great like on the field quarterback. And I know everyone put Williams creepy what this year and that year and whatever. It's just that offense just grosses me out, and Chargers quarterbacks for fantasy just kind of gross me out. I don't know. Maybe it's a me thing. I don't know. And then Caleb Williams. I think everyone on this podcast is a known Caleb Williams doubter and hater. I think we're all preying on his downfall to a degree. I think there's a couple of us that want to see DJ Moore be pretty solid this year. But other than that, fuck them as far as the bear goes, for real. So for this quarterback room, I don't want to let my personal like judgment of like Justin Herbert get too far in the way, so I will 100% do that with Caleb Williams, though. So I think we're going to go 6.5. Or no. We're going to go 7. Herbert's too good. I can't give him a 6, and I lost the pen to my marker. Beautiful. So the running backs on this team for Armand, our defending champ, is Ashton Jeanty, Javonte Williams,
Jadon Blue, Nick Chubb, and J.K. Dobbins. He also has Joe Mixon stashed away on his IR. This is a pretty gross room, I'm not going to lie. I think the Raiders are going to be behind in most games and not probably running the ball a whole lot of game. I don't know how many times Ashton Jeanty gets like 20 rushing attempts in a game, and not because they don't want to give it to him, but just because they're losing and they can't run the ball. Probably a lot of games where he's rushing the ball like 12 to 15 times. And he's going to get targeted in the passing game, but... Yeah, I don't know. And it might help the things with Jacoby requesting a trade, that being kind of funky. But Brock Bowers is still going to eat. I keep hearing hype about these rookies besides Jack Beck. And, yeah, I'm not getting too excited. And Jacoby Myers is still going to be there because they said they don't want to trade him. And just... Yeah, they're in a tough division. They're going to be playing behind in pretty much every division game. I'm going to... With Javonte Williams, who knows if he's even the starter all year. I'm trying to get Breece Hall there. We'll see what I can make happen. so stupid. Jadon Blue. So he's got basically whoever the Dallas running back is, if that ends up being worth a shit. Because that's going to be kind of a similar situation to Jeanty. They're going to be behind a lot. How much are they going to be running the ball? And then Nick Chubb. That's pretty gross to me. Least efficient running back in football last year. Has looked like shit so far. J.K. Dobbins, I mean, he might be okay for like a bye week flex option, but I would never want to start him in my running back spot. And then Joe Mixon, I mean, that's a nice IR stash. That's about all I can really say about that. Just not a lot of positive here. I'm probably going to go 4, honestly. I'm pretty low on this room. Wide receivers, he's got Puka Nacua, Tyreek Hill, DJ Moore, Tet McMillan, Rashee Rice, and that is it. It's funny, right after the draft, he tried to throw Rashee Rice in his IR and couldn't. And he was like, wait, you can't do that? It's like, no, he's suspended, not hurt. this room's, I mean, it's solid. I think it's probably a little bit better than solid, actually. Puka Nacua, that's a wide receiver one. Tet McMillan, I think, has a good chance to be wide receiver one. I think a lot of people think that. I mean, and Rashee Rice, I mean, he's kind of going to take up just a roster spot for the first 6 weeks. But, I mean, not a ton of bye weeks before then, and he'll be back in time for bye weeks. When is, doesn't Kansas City have an early bye week? I think it's week 10. So you still got to play with that later. He was there all through camp, so he should be ready to go, even with the 6-game thing. He's going to keep himself ready. And the Chiefs are a dirty-ass team, so you know they're probably going to give him all the game stuff that he needs to, all the game plan stuff that he needs to have, even though they're not supposed to, because just a gross franchise. Kidding, kind of. I'm going to rate this room Puka, Tyreek, DJ Moore, Tet, and Rashee. That's actually pretty fucking solid. I'm not even going to lie. Especially once it's all healthy. If that's a thing. I'm going to go 8 here. Actually, I think it's a pretty solid room. There. His wide receivers. His tight end is George Kittle. Does he have a backup? He does not. George Kittle's got a great chance to be tight end one this year. I'm going to go 8. Yeah. Okay, so we will move on to our next team. Knicks sucks. Oh, I mean, Knicks for 6. Sorry, Reed. His quarterback is Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy. Shockers. Just shockers all across the board. All hatership aside, Bo Nix is probably going to have a good fantasy season. Probably going to have a pretty good on-the-field season, too. J.J. McCarthy is at least, he can run a little bit, so he's at least going to provide some value that way. And, I mean, he's going to have a long-ass leash, too, before they bench him for fucking Carson Wentz. So, a pretty good QB2 to have, pretty safe floor, I would say, there with McCarthy. And the upside could be massive.
And then you got your surefire thing at Knicks there. I think we'll go
seven. Seven and a half, actually.
Running backs are Derrick Henry, Bucky Irving, and Bashal Tutin and Bill Kroski Merritts. I've been on record as saying I think the Bill Kroski Merritt is a hype is a little too much. Might be one of the preseason, kind of looking back, one of those things, the preseason we bought a little too much into. Derrick Henry, though, should be locked, loaded, ready to go. Bucky Irving, I've been trying to snag him from Reed. That says all it needs to. So that's a great one-two punch. Tootin could be a nice handcuff as well, like I was talking about with Bigsby earlier. That whole backfield could just be gross. Or maybe Etienne is the one that gets traded to Dallas, if Dallas does trade for a running back. And then Tootin and Bigsby could probably both be decent fantasy options, but we're talking ifs at that point. 1-2 punch is really good. Don't like the depth behind it a ton as of right now. That was kind of similar to the other ones, but they had a better RB3. They each had the Vikings running backs, those top two guys that had decent scores, a good 1-2 punch. I think we'll go 6.5 here. If he could find RB3, it could probably be up close to 8 with those other guys, with the nice tandems. Excuse me. Next up are his wide receivers. We have Mike Evans, Cortland Sutton, Jameson Williams, Ricky Pearsall, and Deontay Thornton. Pretty solid group. He got great value on Ricky Pearsall late. JMO could be nice. Isaac Tesla is, it looks like, going to be at least relevant in that offense. That could maybe take away from some of the work that people were hoping that JMO would get. But we'll see. Sutton and Evans, that's a really good, like, not the craziest, like, upside pairing there at receiver, but just a very safe pairing. Like, you feel really confident with walking into every week, like, being like, those two dudes are going to get me, like, 15 to 20 PPR points, maybe surprise me with more than that. And with your running back duo, and a good running back, or a good quarterback group, I think you can take that. And Ricky Pearsall, he's going to probably shatter his ADP. So, right there in the flex, that's awesome. Sutton or Evans might even end up in the flex there, and Pearsall ends up at the top. And then Deontay Thornton, he could be an awesome sleeper. He could get crazy value out of him, too. This is just, I feel like, a really safe room. And there is some upside there, I think, with a dude like Pearsall, or even Jameson Williams still, because who knows if Isaac Tesla in the actual, once he starts playing all the starters all the time, will still look that good. Just a really safe room. I think I'm going to go 7.5 here on Reed's wide receivers. And his tight end is Tyler Warren and Harold Fannin. I really like the upside with them, but they're both unproven. And Fannin does still have to take the job from Njoku to a degree, I think. So I'm probably going to go like 5 here. I'm not going to lie. But I could be wrong. And I could be wrong on all this. I never pretend to be an expert. I'm just a dude who likes talking and who also likes fantasy football. So that's what we're doing. That's what the fuck we're doing. We lied to. All right, next up is Chubbs. His quarterback is Josh Allen. He does not have a backup. Another potential QB1 candidate. Would be better if he had a backup, but I don't have a backup, so I'm not going to hold him for not having a backup. Well, I'm going to hold myself for not having a backup, actually, so I will hold him a little bit for having a backup. I think I'm going to go 8. Just because you can't pick anyone up off the waiver wire. It's nice to have your QB2 locked, loaded, and ready to go and have a good one locked in. But when you got someone as good as Josh Allen and someone as durable as Josh Allen, you're just hoping. You only need to pick someone up for 1 week. You don't really need to carry two quarterbacks. His running back room, Christian McCaffrey, James Conner, David Montgomery, Ray Davis, Najee Harris, and Brian Robinson. It's a pretty good running back room. Couple of old guys there at running back. They're at the 1-2 punch, McCaffrey and James Conner. Durability issues with both. But if they're both healthy, man, that's maybe the best combo in the league, low key. I'm not even gonna lie to you. If they're both healthy and doing what they do. So that's really nice. David Montgomery's awesome RB3. He should still be, I think, a really solid flex option this year. Najee Harris, that's getting a little weird. I kind of look at him as almost like a handcuff at this point, which would be the same as Brian Robinson and Ray Davis. So he does have the handcuff for McCaffrey, and that's an awesome handcuff to have with Brian Robinson. So I'm just going to kind of lock in his RB1 as being really good as the 49ers RB1. So he's good there. RB2, I think, just the group of Ray Davis, Najee Harris, and Brian Robinson being all you have on your bench after Montgomery, Connor, and Henry. Just kind of a group of running backs they're starting that's kind of older. And one of them's in really on the wrong side of a timeshare. I'm probably gonna go like 7 here. I want to go lower, but I also want to go higher. So I just feel like that's kind of where to put it, because that could just be that could be a crazy room. But it could also be injured by week 4, and he could be starting Ray Davis and Najee Harris, scouring the waiver wire for a running back, and that's no way to be. And when you're trying to win championships, all right. His receivers are Drake London and Devontae Adams, Matthew Golden, Keon Coleman, and Trey Harris. Trey Harris bust right now. I can tell you right now because KLS is taking all of their work. I just got done saying we're buying too much into the Bill hype. I am buying way too much into the KLS hype. I am eating all of it up. Not a big Drake London guy. Devontae Adams, he's getting older, but I don't want to doubt him because, I mean, he was still really good last year, and he showed he was still, like, one of the more, like, skilled and talented guys in the league. But just the quarterback questions there. Puka's there. I don't know. I just have some questions there. Drake London, we'll see. If Penix is good, but if he's good, London will be great. But I have questions about that. Matthew Golden should be a solid flex option throughout the year. Keon Coleman, nice sleeper option. Probably, I think, maybe a low-end wide receiver too. But I think should probably finish a wide receiver 3 on the year. Already said what I said about Trey Harris. So this group again, Drake London, Devontae Adams, Matthew Golden, Keon Coleman, and Trey Harris. I'm going to go 6. I just don't see a ton to be excited about there. Tight ends, Evan Ingram, and that is it. I do think it'll be a good year for Ingram, but I wouldn't want to be counting on that. I think I'm going to go 4. No backup either. I definitely, if I was going with Evan Ingram, would want to have a backup. Moving to Mateo. Mateo's quarterback is Joe Burrow and Jared Goff. That's a really fucking very safe feeling room. You walk into that room, you don't need a gun. You don't need your sidearm. You don't need a knife. You just walk in and you feel safe. There's a bunch of big, strong dudes like that make you feel safe, like with guns, but not in like a scary way. I don't know if that makes any sense. Maybe I'm kind of, not making the point right here. But it feels like walking into a safe place, like when you go back home to your mom's house and you're eating food at her table. You just feel really safe. I feel safe with Jared Goff and Joe Burrow, and I think Joe Burrow's got some crazy upside for the year because that team's going to be their offense is so good. So I don't know if they're going to be chasing points all year, but I think they're going to be in shootouts all year. And probably looking a lot like last year. He's maybe got the best receiver duo in the league. I'm not going to go 10 here. I'm not going to do it, but I am going to go 9.5. I really like that quarterback room a lot. I'm going to pause for a drink. Shout out to Marcella Dark Cream Soda. Unofficial sponsor of the show. At them in the replies, please. Let's get them aboard. Let's get them aboard. All right, running backs. We have Josh Jacobs, Kyren Williams, and that's it. Wow. Just Josh Jacobs and Kyren Williams. Love the pairing. But zero depth. As we've established on this pod, and as you'll hear in the two-hour live draft, big depth podcast. Yeah, we're big on the depth. Maybe maliciously, sarcastically maliciously. But I'm going to go 6 here, just because there's nothing. Yeah, 6. Just because those two are really good, but there's nothing behind it. So his wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase, Zay Flowers, Chris Olave, Khalil Shakir, Jaden Reed, and Keenan Allen. I like his first three. I think that's actually his first four. I think that's a really good combo. You got your wide receiver one, Ja'Marr Chase. Obviously, that's locked in. That's nice. And then you can kind of shuffle around Zay Flowers, Olave, and Shakir. I guess that's just all the starters. Yikes. I don't want to let his lack of running backs slip over into me rating his running backs. And then he's just got Keenan Allen and Jaden Reed on the bench. I mean, the receiving room's good. This is good. I'm going to probably go 9 here. Got potentially the wide receiver one in fantasy, potentially the best player in fantasy, and then like three, I think two really safe wide receiver twos, and then Chris Olave, I don't know how safe it is. He could end up just being like a flex guy, but that's okay. When you've got Ja'Marr Chase, Zay Flowers, and Khalil Shakir, maybe this guy stumbles into another running back. Maybe he cuts one of his three tight ends to do that. We'll get into that in just a second. Who knows? We will see. This is Mateo, by the way. But that's a pretty good room. Jaden Reed, I don't want to get too excited about. Keenan Allen, I wouldn't want to be too excited about either. I think there's a chance. I'm not going to say it's likely, but I think there's a chance those guys are off the roster by week 4. I'm not saying it's likely, but I think it's in the realm of possibility for sure. And I wouldn't say the most unlikely take I've ever put out there. I'm going to go 7.5 in here. I'm going to go 8. Because he's got the wide receiver one. He's got a couple of wide receiver twos. Wide receiver three. But you know what? I'll go 8.5. That is a pretty solid room. I'm not a big Chris Olave guy, but when he's your fourth wide receiver, I'm okay with that. And then you got Jaden Reed behind it. Jaden Reed is your fifth. That's not bad. Keenan Allen. I guess when you have five other good receivers, fuck it, take a dart throw and see if there's still any magic left there between him and Herbert. But moving on to the tight ends, Mateo has Sam Laporta, Dalton Kincaid, and Jonnu Smith. That's no RB3, but he's got tight end 3 and Jonnu Smith on the roster. That's a bold strategy. That's a really bold strategy to put it nicely. Dalton Kincaid and who else? Sam Laporta. That just feels gross to me. I don't think they're bad, but Sam Laporta and Dalton Kincaid as my tight end room doesn't really excite me. And when you don't have like the depth behind it, I don't see why you hold Jonnu Smith. But I guess that's not what I'm rating. I'm rating the room itself, which is Sam Laporta, Dalton Kincaid, and Jonnu Smith. Well, like I just got done saying, we are big on the depth here. So I guess I'm going to have to give him at least a little bit of a half a point for that. Sam LaPorta is nice, probably pretty solid. I don't think it's going to be a wild season like his rookie year, but probably a pretty safe tight end. Dalton Kincaid, probably like, I don't know if I would waste a roster spot keeping him on as my tight end too, but I mean, you never know, he might be good this year. Oh gosh, I messed up here. That was bound to happen. All right, so gosh, we are rating Chubbs. Maybe we skipped off on Chubbs. No, I definitely rated that. Oh, okay, I see what I did here. All right. So, gosh dang it. No, I don't. Oh, shit. Oh, darn it. So, we're going to go through and really quickly try to tally up these scores like I probably should have been doing along the way. So, for the Slee Stack here at the top, let's see. Let's get the calculator pulled up here, and we will just add those real quick. I guess I'm okay. That's 14, that's 21, that's 30. 30 and a half for the Slee Stack. San Jose, that's 9, that's 14. 21. 27 is the total for Brady. Cooked. Got 11. Plus 16, that's 27 there with Brady. All right, so let's double check now to make sure we're right here while we're still at somewhat of a catch-upable point. Make sure we have these rooms rated right for that. Was that for that? Did I do 6.5 for Reed? Yeah, because I don't like that depth. And 7.5 on the receivers was right. 5 for the tight end, because, yeah, okay, yeah, so Reed's right, that's cool, so, okay, so that's 15, 21, 21 and a half, 26 and a half for Reed. Yikes, I did not think your team was going to be rated out lower than Brady's and Armand's, bro, but that's okay, because you suck, and so does Bo Nix, Reed. I hope that's, there's one person watching, I'm not sure who it is, and, uh-oh, what happened? Uh-oh. I lost it. There we go. Wonderful. Great. Anyways, Reed, you suck. So, Chip Bound. I don't think that's who, I don't think we rated his team. No, we definitely did not, looking at that team. So, this is not Chip Bound. We'll go ahead and get his name on erased out of here. And I think that's Chubbs. Let's make sure. Rated as quarterback 8. Yep, that's right. This would be Chubbs. Okay. And that all looks right. I have his tight end rated 4. Okay, yeah. So these ratings are right. So that's 10. That's 17. Plus 8. That's 25. Your team sucks. I'm just kidding. I'm not close to you. I shouldn't talk shit about your team like that. Definitely better than Reed. Even though your score is lower than his, you're definitely still better than Reed. That's for sure. So, next up would be Mateo, right? Yeah. Here we are, Mateo. Okay. And so, I was not rating his thing 8.5. That's for fucking sure. So, let's make sure we had 9.5 on his quarterback room, yes. Running back room was a 6 because of no depth, that's right. We did not go 9 on his receivers, did we? No, that was supposed to be 8.5. I don't know where that fucking 9 came from. Anyways, so we went 8.5 on his receivers. And we were going, what? I don't think we rated this tight end. I think we were going 6.5. That's what we were doing. So, Mateo is going to get a total of, that's 14, 15, 21, 30 and a half. Nice team, Mateo. Tied for the lead right now. All right, so we'll do Chip Bound here. Championship Bound. Shortening it for the board. Okay. Go pull back up to him. So Phil Will, chip bound, second year in the league, friend of the show. I guess he's, I don't know if he actually listens or not, but still, friend of the show, either way. His quarterback is Kyler Murray and CJ Stroud. I'm a Kyler guy, but just the quarterback room is pretty unexciting. I don't really like Kyler as quarterback one, personally. I know he has talked about, oh, I'm going to run more this year, but that's kind of one of those things, I'll believe it when I see it type deal. Yeah, and CJ Stroud. I like CJ Stroud, too. I like both these guys, actually. Probably two of my favorite players in the league right now, to be totally honest. Like, non-Patriot players. Probably two of my favorites. Yeah. And I really want to see both these guys be badass this year, but I don't know if... I forget his name, offensive coordinator in Arizona. I don't think he's very good. Because I think Kyler's better than what he has been. I think Marvin Harrison is better than his rookie year. I don't think his rookie year was bad. I think it was a decent rookie year. It wasn't great for fantasy, but that doesn't mean it was a bad rookie year. I think he'll be better this year a little bit, but he's got to get used differently. I'm not going to factor that in. We're rating just his room. Never mind. I was going to say he does have Trey McBride stacked here, but that's not what we're rating. So, just Kyler and CJ. I mean, that's a really, I feel like, a safe floor, but there could be some weeks where maybe both of them don't get you a lot of points, maybe. I'm probably going to go 6.5 here. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Okay. And that's for Kyler Murray and CJ Stroud. At running back, he has Omarion Hampton, DeAndre Swift, one of my favorite players to draft this year. I think the value on him is awesome. Omarion Hampton, DeAndre Swift, Trey Benson, and Caleb Johnson. So no real RB3 as of now, kind of hoping for an injury or for Caleb Johnson to look better than he did in the preseason for that to happen. Omarion Hampton, I hate to count on a rookie as my, you know, RB1, but Najee Harris is whatever the hell is going on there. Excuse me. And then the rest of the guys on the roster, not that Najee Harris is exciting, but the rest of these guys, Hassan Haskins, I don't even see anyone else on here anymore. I know they got rid of Raheem Sanders. He's in Cleveland now. He's their RB3. DeAndre Swift, I like him as my RB2. I think that's the perfect spot to have him. I think it's a good spot to have him, the perfect spot. If you could get DeAndre Swift into your flex, I think that's the perfect spot to have him, because I think that gives you a real advantage. If you draft two running backs, like really good running backs early, and then can get Swift later, and then kind of go receiver in there, and then go quarterback late, get a guy like Drake May. If you like Kyler this year, guy like Kyler, maybe Justin Herbert's still there. Dak Prescott might still be there. I think DeAndre Swift is at his value. Some people are catching on a little bit. I think he's a must draft personally. Just no depth, and then the guys he does have that are starting aren't the most exciting. All that, I just said all that about DeAndre Swift, but to say he's not that exciting. So I do think Roshan gets the goal line work. Manon guy's going to have some kind of a role. I think we got to go like 5 here. Actually, I take that back. Not to be mean, I'm actually going to go 4. Anyways, we'll go ahead and move on to his receivers here. We got Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, Devontae Smith, Stephon Diggs, and Josh Downs. Pretty nice receiving group. I'm not big on drafting Josh Downs this year, but as your wide receiver 5, I can't complain about that. And that's not low on Josh Downs. That's low on the Colts passing game, as I mentioned earlier. Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, nice duo. Malik Nabers, dealing with those injuries through the preseason, that is a little worry. I don't want to quite say worrisome, but it's, I think, something to watch. Brian Thomas, who knows what's going to happen in that offense this year? And I think it's important to remember that his best games last year were with Mac Jones. It wasn't with Trevor Lawrence. He was with a different quarterback than he's with now, and it was under a different coaching scheme, too. Now, I think Brian Thomas is really fucking good, and he's still going to be really good, but I've hesitated on drafting him in redraft really high this year because I do have questions about all that translating. Because, I mean, I'm a Trevor Lawrence guy, but it's getting to that point now where it's like, you got to put up or shut up, dude. If you want to truly be, like, justify that contract and be known as, like, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and, like, not a bust, to put it bluntly, it's time to get it going. But then Devontae Smith and Stephon Diggs for your flex spots, I think that's great. If he could find, like, an RB3, if he could somehow trade Trey Benson and Caleb Johnson, or drop one of them, I guess, and find, like, an actual RB3 at some point, or maybe trade Josh Downs and one of those two guys and get an RB3, I think this team could be pretty nice because the quarterbacks, I'm not the highest on them, but I think they'll keep you afloat and you can win a championship with them. Ah, no, never mind. I forgot about the running backs. Man, if Hampton is good, if Hampton is truly an RB1, this team could be really good because I'm going to go ahead and give his receiving room an 8 here. I like all of these guys. I think all of these guys are really good. A couple of them, I have some questions about the situation. Brian Thomas and Josh Downs. Stephon Diggs, I'm a little questionable, but I really like. He has been there. He's been there for every bit of off-season activity since like the summer, even through all the party stuff. He was at OTAs, the mini camps. He's been working with Drake through it all, and it really focused on trying to be back. And he's been running drills. I think he's going to be. Maybe it takes a week or two, but I think Stephon Diggs, awesome flex 2 option there. If you could, again, if he could find a way to maybe trade like Downs and like Trey Benson to the James Conner owner to, you know, maybe so that way that guy gets a receiver. I don't remember who had that and what his receiving room was like, but that way he gets his handcuff for injury prone James Conner. It was the guy that had Christian McCaffrey, so that guy's obviously interested in having handcuffs for his old running backs. So maybe you trade those two to Phil Will, maybe you trade those two guys to whoever that is, the James Conner owner. And you don't have to get like a blow away, because like, if Omarion Hampton's good, your two running backs are fine. If you find an RB3, your receiving room is awesome. And then let's go ahead and just rate that, because you have Trey McBride. I'll go ahead and just write that down. You don't, and then you've got Kyle Pitts to back him up. I'll write you for a 9. Yeah, I'll write you for a 9. Actually, I'm going to go 9.5, because Trey's potentially tight end 1, I think will be tight end 1. And Kyle Pitts, if that's who you're starting, if you're counting on him for one bye week, I think that's great. I think that's great. That's what Kyle Pitts at this point should be used for. And I'm going to go ahead and give his receiving room. I'm going to give it I'm going to go 9, because just every one of these guys is good. None of these guys are bad. So yeah, if he could maybe trade Downs and Johnson or Benson to like another owner, or maybe trade one of his quarterbacks and then go pick up another quarterback. Maybe trade like Downs and Kyler and go get a better RB3. Maybe get like a low end RB2, and then this team could be a real problem. You throw CJ Stroud in there to start with, yeah, this could be a real nice team. So let's go ahead and tally him up for what he is right now, because we're not talking about what he could be. We're talking about what he is. That's 13. 19 and a half, 20, so he is at 29 as his score, so that's a pretty decent score. That's not bad. The high score right now is two teams are at 30 and a half, and he's at 29, so I think this could be a good team. Yeah. So, next up, after old Phil Will, a.k.a. Championship Bound, if you make it there, you're losing to me, bud, no, we did that. Let's look at the board. Let's just follow the board. That's probably the smarter way to go. Lucas. We're going to do Lucas next. All right. And his team name is, let me pull this up here, Higgins Always Hurts. So I think you can probably get an idea of a couple of players that might be on his team here. And man, a brief look at this roster. I've said it on previous pods. I thought about it during the live draft, but I made a point not to say it because I don't want to say it too often. And Sam, yeah, like, but this just a great draft. This dude always drafts well. I like this team a lot. I think this team definitely is a championship contender. At least at week one to start the year, this looks really good. Quarterback Jalen Hurts, that is it. Let's see. That was the Josh Allen. I have Hurts just below Josh Allen, and both didn't have a backup, so I'll go 7.5. Just a hair below that one. Running backs, Trevion Henderson, Tyrone Tracy, Will Shipley, Dylan Sampson, Cam Scadabo. That's pretty solid. Got the handcuff for Tyrone Tracy. I like that. Or really, whoever just owns the role throughout the year, he's got that locked up there in New York. Trevion Henderson, I think that's my boy. Not just a Patriots guy. I think he's going to be a... I think he's going to be a potential, like, flirt with an RB1 type season, like a top 12 type season. Dylan Sampson, if he can be better than Jerome Ford, that job is his. And now, I don't want to throw shade at Jerome Ford, because Jerome Ford is a very solid NFL back, but he's not anything, you know, incredible that we've never seen before. And if Dylan Sampson can be better than that, he could be getting a lot of work, and that could be a really nice RB3. Will Shipley, I think one of the better handcuffs, one of the better stashes to have this year. Crazy workload for Saquon last year. Not only did he get 2,000 carries in the regular season, excuse me, not 2,000 carries. I said that wrong. Oh shit, we need a Marcello before I die on the live. 2,000 carries. That's insane. That's insane. That's insane. That's insane. Literally insane. No, it was... I forget what it was. He had a crazy amount of carries. I should probably look it up, but I'm already this far into it. I'm not going to. Crazy workload, though. We all know about that. Extended into the postseason all the way through the Super Bowl. And just, he was the only guy last year. Like, just, he was the like, none of those guys, other guys were playing. Kenneth Gainwell wasn't playing much. Will Shipley wasn't playing much last year. We're never rooting for injuries, but there's just a high chance that Saquon breaks down at some point and Will Shipley becomes that. So, good stash to have. I don't hate the guys you have on the bench. I think they're pretty solid. And I wouldn't call these guys, like, elite. They still kind of got to prove it. But I do think they're pretty solid there, the starters. I think you got really good value on them. That's why I got to call it a really good draft. But if we're just going to rate it as a room, I'm not going to lie, I probably got to go, like, a 5. I think how you drafted them, or not how Lucas drafted them, I should say, is really good. And where he got Tracy, where he got Henderson, and where he got these guys later. Dylan Sampson was in like the second to last round, maybe even the last round. He got good value on Scadabo too, so the draft was Wells, because I know when I kind of started looking at his team, I was like, oh wow, it's a really good draft. And then I look at his running back room and it's like, oh, that's, I don't know, crazy. But yeah, you get what I'm saying. His receivers, CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, Romo Odunze, Emeka Ibuka, and Kyle Williams and Rashad Bateman. And then he also does have Brandon Ayuk stashed on injured reserve. Pretty good group. Rashad Bateman's one of my favorite late-round drafts. Not a big Romo Odunze guy, but Emeka Ibuka, I think he could have a really good year this year. He could break out in his rookie year. And then CeeDee Lamb and T. Higgins, that enough said about them. They're both going to be, I've already said what kind of offenses they're going to be in. They're both going to be in offenses throwing the ball a lot, airing it out in probably a lot of shootouts. Should score a lot of fantasy points, the both of them this year. Probably going to give this, and Romo Odunze, probably going to be at least a solid flex option, I would say, throughout the year. I'm not real high on him, but he should probably be a flex one or a flex two throughout the year. So I'm probably going to go, I really, that 1-2 punch is nasty. And then he's got some depth here behind it too that I don't hate. So I'm going to go 9. Okay, so his tight ends. He has Brock Bowers, and that is it. I'm going to go just kind of like right here, like I did with Josh Allen. Because he's my QB2. Brock Bowers is my tight end, too. No backup. Give it an 8. Just awesome. You can't do much better at the starter. And once you draft it, I mean, really, I'm not going to say you can't do much better. You can't do much better than that. But just the depth is what I knocked for the 2 points. If he had a dude like, I don't even know who's available in this league post-draft, looking at it right now as far as tight ends go. Let's see here. Oh, wow, Dallas Goedert. Dallas Goedert's available. Wow, I might. Alright, we got separated right there. Got the low battery notification. Down to 20%, so probably going to try and wrap up these last four teams after this somewhat quickly. But yeah, Dallas Goedert's here. If you were to pick up like a guy like that off there, maybe drop a guy like Kyle Williams for it, I would give that tight end room a 10, honestly. I'm not even really sure why Dallas Goedert's available. I think that's kind of crazy. Dudes have like 3 tight end rooms with Jonnu Smith and Dalton Kincaid and whatnot. Dudes in complete timeshares as tight ends, and then you have an actual, like, starting tight end right there just sitting on the, I don't know. Anyways, so Lucas's final score, that's going to be 17, plus that's 22, 29 and a half. Very nice, very nice. As always with Mr. Lucas. Next up, we have Lone Legend. Let's see what he's cooking with here. He is playing Lucas week 1, and his quarterback is Baker Mayfield. Nothing else. Baker's still going to be good this year. I don't want to make it sound like I'm going to be low on him, but there's touchdown regression coming. It was 42 touchdowns, something like that last year. That's not happening again. I'm sorry. I just don't think it is. I just don't see it. I think, like, 32 to 35 still in the realm of possibility. So I do think there's a slight bit of regression coming there. Like, not necessarily like he's bad, but just like kind of coming back to earth a little bit. I think for just Baker, probably got to go like a 6. Baker's not the kind of quarterback I want to go into the year without a backup with. Running backs. He has Saquon, Alvin Kamara, Chuba Hubbard, Austin Eckler, and that's it. I like this room. I remember when we were drafting, I was like, I really like this draft room. I might have even actually said it, on the live part. Yeah, Saquon, enough said. I know what I said about him breaking down. That is definitely still something to be concerned about. But until that happens, and if that happens, RB1, like potential best player in fantasy. Alvin Kamara, still probably going to get the job done as an RB2 this year. Chuba Hubbard would be most RB2 on most teams. He's got him in flex, so I love that. Austin Eckler, I think he's the Washington running back everyone should be freaking out for this year to have. I understand dynasty managers rushing to get Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, but as far as redraft goes, I think you're wasting your time with Bill Kroski-Merritt. Austin Eckler's where you want to be. He's going to get all the passing downs work. He's going to be in there when it matters the most. And it's not like he doesn't rush the ball at all. I think he might see a slight increase, too. We'll see. Maybe I'm fishing there, but I think that's just a really good 4-piece room right there. I think we're going to go 9 here. I really like that running back room. I think it's really good. Got RB1. And like 3 RB2s right behind him. So I think it's hard to do better than that at the running back spot. His receivers, not so high on. JSN, Xavier Worthy, Deebo Samuel, Hollywood Brown, and Juwan Jennings. Now, Hollywood Brown if he's going to be relevant, it'll only be for the beginning part of the year. He's been dealing with injury stuff. He needs to move Chris Godwin to IR, by the way. And Juwan Jennings, that his whole situation is gross. Injury and contract stuff, I don't want part of that. Xavier Worthy, he could be wide. I wouldn't mind him as a wide. I would rather him be my flex guy, but I think you'd probably get by with him as a wide receiver too on the year. Debo Samuel, I guess as a second flex option, that's okay. Not the greatest, though, I don't think. JSN, he's going to get a lot of volume this year. I don't really like this room a lot. I'm probably going to have to go six. Okay. Tight end. We have Mark Andrews and Jake Ferguson. Not super high on this. Wait, is Isaiah likely hurt? If he's hurt, that changes things a little bit. Yeah. So he's hurt to start the year anyways. In that case, Mark Andrews should be pretty solid. Ferguson should be a good backup. We'll go seven. That brings Lone Legend to 16, 22, 28. Three more teams left here. We have Dilbertson up next, and his quarterback is Jaden Daniels and Cam Ward. Now, I did roast Dilbertson here, formerly WAP, a little bit much in the live bit you'll be hearing. If you're on the podcast forum, you'll be hearing that a little bit. I did roast him a little bit much. I'm not sure who the one viewer is. Shout out to you. That's really cool. On the off chance, it is here. God dang it, I'm messing it up again. What's happening? Okay. There we go. I'm not sure where it cut off there when the one person that was watching here on the live was. No, we're on Lucas's team. He ended up with a score of 29.5. Gave his tight end room an 8, wide receiver room a 9, running backs 5, and quarterback 7.5. We were on Lone Legend, gave him a 6, 9, 6, 7 there, total score 28. And we are now on to Dilbert, formerly known as WAP. His quarterback is Jaden Daniels, and like I was just saying, did kind of lay into him on the live bit a little bit, but I'm not going to do that here. Jaden Daniels, that's awesome. I would love to have him as my quarterback. I do have him in the guillotine league. No backup, though. Not a huge deal. I'm going to go 8, just like I did with Allen and like Lamar, kind of, or was it Bowers? Just awesome guy to have right there, just no backup. Can't quite go any higher than that. Running back is Devon Achane, Isaiah Pacheco, and Quinshon Judkins, who he took in like the 8th round, I think it was. Absolutely insane work. Absolutely insane work. And then Ramondre Stevenson, who he took when he should have probably taken, or when is, which he should have probably, that's where he should have probably taken Judkins. This is a pretty gross running back room to me. Stevenson is one of the grossest handcuffs in the NFL to me, and I'm a Patriots fan. That dude sucks. That dude's cheeks. Quinshon Judkins, there's still a potential loophole where he goes back to college. So, that's not out the realm of possibility. Yeah, I don't even know why he's rostered. That's absolutely silly. Devon Achane, if he's healthy, that's awesome. Kind of banged up right now. This dude should really answer my trade and acquire Ollie Gordon from me. Has Isaiah Pacheco. I think that's pretty nice. Honestly, though, Achane and Pacheco are, as a starting two, are kind of giving me bad vibes right now. And you don't really have a running back to back them up. So I probably got to go like 4. Yeah, I'm going to go 4. Yeah, I'm going to go 4 here. Receivers. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Travis Hunter, Marvin Harrison, Rashid Shaheed, Cooper Kupp. That's actually not a bad group. I like Harrison and Shaheed as, you know, like flex one and flex two, respectively. I do not like Travis Hunter as a wide receiver two. No way. No, sir. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he should be wide receiver one material there. Cooper Kupp is a fifth I do like. This is an okay room. Just okay, though. I could see the bottom and the floor falling out from under it really easy, though. So, I'm probably going to go like 5.5. And then for his tight end, he's got Colston Loveland and Mike Gesicki. Five and a half. Yeah, that's Mike Gesicki. He shouldn't be rostered. Dallas Goedert should be right there where Mike Gesicki is, if we're being honest. So let's tally up Dilbert here. He's got 12 plus 11. That's 23. That is the lowest scorer so far, saving Chubbs from that honor. And second to lastly, before I do myself, we have Mississippi Piracy, Odlamo. As you will hear in the live draft, his quarterbacks are Patrick Mahomes and Justin Fields. I like that duo a lot. I think the Chiefs' defense is not bad this year, but probably kind of mid. And they're probably in a lot of games where they got to throw the ball. And especially once Rashee Rice gets back, they might have a lot of success throwing the ball this year. Xavier Worthy got a little bit better towards the end of last year. Hollywood Brown, if he's healthy, should be nice. Travis Kelce, if he's not distracted and playing like shit, it probably means he's playing awesome because he's on fire, like, about the wedding and all that retarded shit. So I like that quarterback room a lot. Justin Fields, I love as your quarterback, too. I think that's great. So we'll go 8.5 on here. Yeah. Running backs, he's got James Cook, Breece Hall, Jaylen Warren, Rashad White. I don't like any of that, to be totally honest with you. I guess let's start with James Cook, a part-time running back. Just got paid, so now he probably lost a lot of incentive to play hard. I know I probably sound like a hater saying that, but I'm just keeping it real. Ty Johnson sees a lot of the passing downs work. They like Ray Davis. And I don't know. RB1 for James Cook is a no for me. Breece Hall, RB2. I'm kind of in the situation where he is my RB2 at HDP. Potentially him or Chuba, I suppose, depending how you want to look at it. That could be really good. It could be really bad. He could get traded. It could be nice. I don't feel great about it, though. Jaylen Warren, that's just going to be a mess in Pittsburgh, I think. Fucking Arthur Smith special. You're going to see Jaylen Warren. You're going to see Caleb Johnson. You're going to see Kenneth Gainwell. Fucking Cordero Patterson's probably just going to show up from the stands, hop in, and start playing. It's going to be gross. I wouldn't really want a Pittsburgh running back, to be totally honest. If I were going to have one, Jaylen Warren would be the one, but even still. Rashad White is a nice handcuff, but that's about it at this point. I don't like this running back room. I'm going to go probably 4. His receivers are Justin Jefferson, Ladd McConkey, Jacoby Myers, blanked on his first name there, Xavier Leggett, Elik Iomaner, and Michael Pittman. This is a pretty good room. Justin Jefferson, enough said there. He's quarterback proof. Ladd McConkey. That room is getting a little crowded and got some dudes that play similar kind of roles that he does, so I do worry about that a little bit, but he should still be pretty solid. Jacoby Myers should still be a great flex this year, despite the trade request and everything. I'm not too worried about that. If anything, they're just going to feed him targets because of it and try to make him happy again, since they've already said they're not going to trade him. Michael Pittman, I think if any receiver in Indianapolis is going to be good this year, I think it might be him. He's really good in that short yardage, catch the ball, make the play after. And that's kind of what Daniel Jones specials in. He wants first read, get the ball out of his hand and go. If not, he's taken off and trying to run or taking a sack. And I think that's going to work for Michael Pittman this year if everything works out. Who knows? Maybe Daniel Jones surprises all of us, but let's not count on that. I've bought that bait too many times. Elik Iometer, I guess, is wide receiver too. I don't really care. It's in Tennessee with a rookie quarterback and an unproven offense. And Xavier Leggett, I think you could probably just cut. I don't think Adam Thielen leaving really makes much of a difference there. After McConkie and Jefferson and Myers, I guess, that's a nice three-way punch. I don't like the depth behind it, and we are a depth podcast. But I do like this. I'm going to go 7. It's pretty solid. It could be better, though. Tight end is Travis Kelce. That's it. 0. Fuck you. Entire score for the team. 0. I'm kidding. No, only kind of. Actually, I'm not. But we'll give him an honest score. I think Travis Kelce is probably like somewhere between tight end 12 and tight end 6 this year. So, no backup. I think we'll go six. And that gives Mississippi Piracy Odelamo, as he is also known as, a total score of 11, 17, 25 and a half. And that brings me to my team. Let me check the battery on this. Okay, we should be good enough to get through here. Hopefully I didn't just mess it up with that. Okay. It's still going. My team, the Belgium Ball Gags. Drake May is my only quarterback. It's a little risky. Sophomore slump is real. But the leg upside, his efficiency last year was crazy. Even if he regresses, it's still like top tier in the league, like up there with like Lamar and Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts. They got him better weapons and a better offensive line and better coaching. His entire situation is better. So I feel like he's going to flirt with a QB6 season. I would hesitate to go much higher than that. But I think 6 to 12, 6 to 15 is well within the range of possibilities. No backup behind it. Gotta hold myself accountable for that. Still some unprovenness here. This is the quarterback that took me to second place last year in this league. Excuse me. I'm gonna go 6.5. Like Josh Allen with no backup, I went 8. I think that's fair. A point and a half. I think that's fair. Kenneth Walker, Tony Pollard, Travis Etienne, Woody Marks, RJ Harvey, Ollie Gordon, and Jerome Ford are my running backs. Kenneth Walker, I don't feel good about having. Pretty injury, risky, very boom bust. I don't feel great. Tony Pollard, I should feel pretty good about as my RB2. Should be pretty solid. Travis Etienne is a flex option, you know, as running back. I feel nice about that. I think he gets most of the passing downs work and is going to still get work rushing the ball too. Woody Marks, he might be RB1 by the end of the week one. RJ Harvey, I don't know what to expect there with Sean Payton. That's just, yeah, I've spent the whole offseason mainly just focusing on hating on RJ Harvey to piss Reed off. So I don't really know how I actually feel about RJ Harvey, but yeah. And then Ollie Gordon might be one of the best handcuffs we'll see. Jerome Ford, still the starter for right now there in Cleveland. So I'll take it. He's been solid. I think he'd be a great flex option to have. Gonna rank myself on my running back room. Again, it's Kenneth Walker, Tony Pollard, Woody Marks, RJ Harvey, Ollie Gordon, and Jerome Ford. I think 7. I don't really have a running back that I feel like, oh, that's a league-winning running back. He's going to carry my team. I don't have one of those. But I feel like I've got, like, three really good RB2s. One, two. Make that four really good, like, RB2s. And then a couple of really good potential, like, handcuffs and slash stashes, whatever you want to call them. So I feel pretty solid about that room. Wide receiver room, I feel even better about. I have Nico Collins, A.J. Brown, Cedric Tillman, Christian Kirk, Garrett Wilson, and Jordan Addison. One-two punch, I feel like, is really good. And then the guys, the backups behind it, I feel like, are good. I feel really happy with Garrett Wilson or, like, Cedric Tillman as, like, my flex one or flex two. Because I think Garrett Wilson, I know a lot of people are worried about, oh, Justin Fields running offense. That dude's going to get hyper-fed targets. And he's going to catch those targets. As long as they're catchable, he's going to catch them. Christian Kirk locked into that slot role for Houston. I think that's pretty much all his this year. And when he gets locked into a slot role, he's a good fantasy option. Awesome. Great flex option. And Jordan Addison, when he gets back, should be high-end flex, low-end wide receiver, too. Cedric Tillman, I feel like, is kind of a dart throw. He's got Flacco. We'll see how that goes. Hopefully, well. Last year when they had Jameson, he was pretty solid. So I'm hoping kind of a similar quarterback, chuck it, air it out, fuck it mentality. Gunslinger mentality helps him. I probably got to go nine here. I'm pretty happy with that wide receiver room. Tight end. My only tight end is Hunter Henry. He definitely does not have a ton of upside. But I think he's got a really safe floor. I'm probably going to go five. Just because I don't have any depth there. And he's not a kind of tight end. He's not a Trey McBride, a Brock Bowers, or even a Travis Kelce that's going to go out and maybe win me a couple of weeks, like, all on his own. So I can't rate him that too high. And that gives me a total score of 16, 22.5, 27.5. All right, so we will go ahead and tally these all up. Grab a separate piece of paper to do that. Do it on the back of this Fidelity here. Where's my pen? Over ye ander. Alright. Cool. So we have two scores of 30.5. That is Slee Stack. And Mateo. So let's get them out the way so I'm not looking at them. Make it easier for the rest of this. Looks like next we got 29.5 right here. Yep, and that is to Lucas. Okay, and then we have 29. That is Phil Will, a.k.a. Chipbound. And then we got... him. 28 right here to Lone Legend. Write down their scores real quick. Who's got a 29.5? He had 29. And Lone Legend has 28. Let's see, next we got a couple of 20. Oh, we got a 27.5 right here with myself. All right, don't mind if I do. Top half of the league, just barely. That's right. Okay, let's go. Villain arc begins. Anyways, a couple of 27s up here to Brady and Armand. So Armand not as cooked as maybe he thought. Not quite at the bottom of the league. Gone, and we got 26.5 to Bo Nix Sucks. Okay, 25 and a half to Mississippi Piracy. We're going to call him Ode Lamo. That was 25 and a half. And we got a 25 right here to Chubbs. All right. And then, does that leave us with just one more? Old Dilbert here at the bottom, who could have guessed? Anyone that listened to the live stream, that's probably who, to be totally honest. Make sure that's right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's right, that's all 12. Cool. So, my official rankings, unofficially brought to you by Swisher Sweet Minis and Marcello Dark Cream Soda, is the Slee Stack number one at 30.5, tied with Mateo at 30.5, I should say. Friend of the show, Lucas, who you will hear later in the broadcast, if you were on the audio only, is in third place at 29.5. Phil Will just behind at 29. Lone Legend at 28. Myself at 27.5. And that is at sixth place. In seventh place is Brady at 27. Armand is at is tied for seventh with Brady at 27. And then actually, I guess these two are kind of tied for first. Actually, let me go back and replay these real quick. Quality broadcasting. I know. Okay, 3, 4, 5. That's 6. Oh, yo, 7. That's 8, 9. Okay. All right. So first place is the Slee Stack of Mateo. Second place is Lucas. Third place is Phil Will. Lone Legend is in 4. Myself in 5th. Brady and Armand in 6th. And then Reed in 7th. Ode Lamo in 8th. Chubbs in 9th. And Dilbert rounding us out in 10. Wonderful stuff. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Of course, we got to do pick a card here while we're remembering and thinking about it. Let's see who we got. Random card here. And we've got Byron Scott. Hey, I actually know that guy. All right, there we go. All right, so what year is this? This is, does not say, but it looks to be 92. Most of these cards, I think, are 92. Look at some of the stats right there. Very cool. So let's look at his career stats here. Played 709 career games through 1992, anyways. I don't know if he played past that. Field goal percentage, career, almost 50% at 49.5. 83% free throw, or 83% free throw at the free throw line. 2,282 rebounds, 2,109 assists, 937 steals, 203 blocks, and 11,462 points. He averaged just over 16 points a game on his career. And let's go ahead and look up a little bit of info about him, too. I know I've heard this dude. I think he is a champion as well, too. As always, my classic NBA knowledge is not expansive. So let's click on his Wikipedia right here and just look at some of the highlights here. All right. He's born in 1961, professional basketball player in the NBA. Won 3 championships with the Lakers during their Showtime era in the 1980s. And he won Coach of the Year with the New Orleans Hornets before they became the Pelicans in 2008. That's right. That's where I remember him from personally, is being their coach. He was coaching back in the CP3 days. Yeah. Yeah. Back when he was balling out and getting those teams, to the playoffs and stuff. Cool stuff. Cool stuff. Born in Ogden, Utah, went to Arizona State, was the number 4 pick in the in the 1983 draft to the San Diego Clippers. I did not know that was a thing. His coaching career was 1998 to 2016, and it looks like his playing career was 1983 to 1998. And what is Panathinaikos? Was he playing? Okay, he went and played over in fucking Greece. What the hell? Yeah, my guy, okay, I think he left the NBA in 97, and then went to Greece to play basketball. That's That's crazy. But he fucking... Okay, hold up. Is this the team? Okay, that's the team. I thought this was his stats in the Greek League. I was like, hold up. Bro balled out in that 1 year. Holy shit. I was like, he retired three fucking numbers. No, this is the team's. Okay. But yeah, that's cool stuff. Byron Scott, our pick a card, player of the episode. Very cool. Our last one was Chuck Person. We did not go as in-depth on him, but we're going to try to go a little more in-depth on these folks as we go. I'm going to go ahead and try and wrap it up there. Whoever that has been watching, I don't know who that is, shout the fuck out to you. If you want to pop your name in the chat so I can shout you out, that would be sweet. Otherwise, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. Go ahead and follow the show on whatever, you know, you're on. If you're watching, if you're the one watching and you're not following us on Twitter, man, like, what are you doing? Tweaking. Like, go follow us right now. And hit follow on the podcast. Go leave the nice review, all that shit I said earlier. I don't think I say that at all during the next 2 hours of the pod, which is, man, this is going to be a crazy long podcast. But if you stick around for that live draft, it'll be cool for you audio-only people. And this is, like, the second-to-last pre-regular season episode. Like, we're so close. We are almost there. Like, just a little bit longer till you get to these games. And I cannot wait. And I cannot wait to get out of this hot-ass room. I'm starting to sweat. There's no airflow in here. So I'm going to go ahead and sign off as fast as possible. I will see you guys later. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Shitbag lizard people.
My bro's QB2 is Aiden O'Connell.
Fuck Sean Payton.
Actually, when you add up the pick value, when you crunch numbers,
who the fuck's Jeff?